Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I would like to introduce the Fixed Price Q3 and nine-month 2021 operating and financial results conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Without further ado, I would now like to pass the line to Elena Mironova. Elena, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Michael. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us. With me on today's call are Dmitry Kirsanov, Chief Executive Officer, and Anton Makhnov, Chief Financial Officer. Dmitry will talk us through a review of the business, including our third quarter and nine-month 2021 performance. Then Anton will discuss our financial performance in more detail. After closing remarks from Dmitry, we will take your questions. Let me caution you that this presentation includes statements that are or may deem to be forward-looking statements with respect to the financial condition, results, operations, and business of Fixed Price Group. For the full disclaimer, please refer to page two of the earnings presentation published on our website at ir.fixed-price.com in the Results Center section. Now let me turn the call over to Dmitry, our CEO.
Hi, everyone, and thank you, Elena. We are pleased to announce another strong set of IFRS financial results for Q3 and nine months 2021. We posted an improvement in like-for-like sales against the toughest quarterly comparison base of Q3 2020 and saw an acceleration of 26%. That's compared to the same quarter pre-COVID-19. We are adapting to changes in cost of goods sold, and we're able to narrow the gap versus the previous year at both the gross and EBITDA margin levels, supported by strict cost control. Our EBITDA margin is 19%, almost at par with Q3 2020, and it remains one of the highest among peers. We added 168 net new stores, entered 53 new localities, and 25% of our net new openings are in international geographies. That's in line with our updated guidance of 730 net openings for 2021. Our loyal customer base now exceeds 15 million people. Despite the challenging environment for the whole industry, including supply chain disruption, inflation, and additional uncertainties due to new COVID-19 restrictions in Russia, we continue to successfully adapt, support our customers, and create value for all our stakeholders. Now, let me share more details on the challenges we are facing currently and tell you how they affect our business and our steps to best manage and mitigate their impacts. Well, first of all, there are new COVID-19 related restrictions starting from tomorrow in both Moscow and some other regions, and rising COVID-19 cases and insufficient vaccination. Non-food stores, restaurants, museums, fitness centers, beauty salons, and other service businesses will be closed at least till November 8. Fixed Price is a retailer selling essentials, including food, so we expect that the vast majority of our stores will remain open in the normal way. At this onset of the new round of COVID-related restrictions, it's hard to assess its overall impact on our business. During the COVID-19 lockdown of 2020, HoReCa, specialty retailers, and other services were closed for almost 2 months in April and June, and people's mobility was restricted. We remained open, but saw a sharp drop in sales in the first weeks of April, followed by a decent rebound in May and June when people restarted offline shopping. We were fast to adapt, deliver, and stock protective masks and hand sanitizers, and enjoyed strong uplift in discretionary non-food assortment while people were looking for affordable ways to have fun. We can't fully project last year trends on the current situation, and the restrictions won't be new to people this time, and the duration and strictness of the measures introduced are still unclear, so it would be premature to talk about potential implications for traffic and sales. What we can say for sure is that we will do our best to protect our customers and employees and prevent the spread of the disease. We take all the safety measures in our stores, ensure social distancing, use of face masks, maintain enhanced disinfection protocols, open all cash lines, stock additional essential assortment that may be in demand amid the onset of the new round of restrictions. We arrange daily medical checks, and we provide COVID-19 insurance and promote vaccination among our employees. As one of the largest retailers in Russia, serving dozens of millions of shoppers every month, we feel additional responsibility for the health and well-being of our customers. To provide a small additional incentive to those who are undecided about the vaccination yet, we allocate an additional 10 million bonus points within our loyalty program as part of our ESG initiatives. Each card holder vaccinated by the end of the year will receive additional 1,000 bonus points or 1,000 rubles. And another persistent issue or challenge are global supply chain and disruptions. Freight costs are unprecedented, almost six times higher than a year ago, and still rising as a result of limited capacity, backlogs, and shipping delays. On top of that, high coal prices and low inventories have triggered a power crisis in China, dampening production and economic growth, so that some producers may have challenges with fulfilling their commitments. And we think that these supply chain dislocations may start to impact local Russian producers as well, though to a much less extent. These producers are also raising their prices, and they expect a temporary shortage of some equipment and supplements. And thanks to our multiple price points, architecture, and deep involvement in product design and production, we gradually absorb increased costs and rotate and adjust our assortment while carefully monitoring prices on the street and maintaining our price advantage versus other retailers. We make our orders in advance to avoid possible shipping delays. We are also planning to launch two new price points, 59 and 79 rubles and dollars in November, while two existing price points of 50 and 77 rubles will be out, which will give us additional flexibility in expanding assortment, managing increased cost of goods sold risks, and supporting the gross margin. Overall, we remain focused on the things we can control and believe that we are well positioned to navigate the current inflationary environment, logistics challenges, and uncertainty arising from potential COVID implications. We focus on our operating priorities and strategic initiatives to meet the evolving needs of our customers and further position fixed price for long-term sustainable growth and creation of stakeholder value. Now, if I may cover our results in Q3, our revenue was up 18% to 59 billion rubles, driven by a 19% increase in retail revenue and 12% growth in wholesale revenue. Against a very tough quarterly sales comparison from the previous year, we posted a 4.4% like-for-like sales growth on the back of a 0.3 like-for-like traffic growth and 4.1 average ticket expansion, supported by the assortment metrics evolution and strong performance by our new higher price points. The share of a new 249 and 299 price points in sales came to almost 8% for Q3 2021 due to new products introduced and continued repricing of existing rotated assortment. In Q3, sales growth came to 20.6%, with a peak of 23.3% in July 2020. This was driven by a rise in non-food sales when shoppers, after stockpiling in Q2, continued to use fixed price as a one-stop shopping destination. Therefore, the hardest month this year was July, when tough comp coupled with abnormally hot weather and the restart of international travel. Warm temperatures affected traffic and sales of some non-food. For context, this year's sales of clothing, where socks have always been our summer bestseller, this year they were under pressure because the pressure. They did not perform so well, and they underperformed. And despite all the supply chain challenges, we were able to stock a great back-to-school assortment in form. We developed new collections of fancy writing materials, notebooks, pencil cases, school bags at the best prices on the street. This drove double-digit sales of seasonal items and stationery and supported a growing share of non-food discretionary assortment. Food also recorded double-digit like-for-like sales growth, reflecting continued strong demand for essentials amid high inflation. The share of food in sales was at 28%, slightly down from the first half 2021. We maintain the best price propositions, and we are the last ones to increase the prices. And the customer demand remains subdued amid elevated prices across the board. However, we were pleased to note the first signs of recovery in August, supported by the start of the back-to-school season and temporary effect of the government stimulus. We see that people are starting to adapt to new pricing levels. In our marketing campaigns, we are shifting the focus to seasonal items at highest price points, whilst continuing to actively promote food and non-discretionary items. Compared to pre-COVID Q3 2019, like-for-like sales grew by 25.8%, accelerating from 23.8% in Q2, and we believe it's a good sign marking a recovery of consumer sentiment. Our joint survey with Roma Market Research Agency showed that despite the increased availability of online shopping, 4 out of 5 Russian consumers, 80%, say that the pandemic has not significantly changed their shopping habits. 49% of Russians say they shop in the same way they did before the pandemic, while another 31% said that they have only partially changed the way they shop. It seems like shopping largely remains an enjoyable bus time for Russian consumers, and that's the treasure hunt that we offer to them. And that's very relevant with the real incomes stagnating. As part of our marketing initiatives, we introduced extra perks and special prices on selected assortment for members of our loyalty program. We already have more than 15 million people there. We are pleased to note that the share of active members remains above 50%, where the average ticket for purchases with a loyalty card is 1.8 times higher than in the tickets without. On the downside, we face new headwinds in our international geographies, which are having a more visible impact on group results. We are actively rolling out company-operated stores in Belarus and Kazakhstan. In Kazakhstan, sales were impacted by government restrictions due to COVID. Only people with QR codes confirming their immune status could visit the shopping malls, where the majority of fixed-price stores are. In Belarus, sales were affected by abnormally high inflation amid pressure on real disposable income, while fixed price had to temporarily reduce assortment metrics due to state regulation of prices. Like-for-like sales growth for company-operated stores in Russia stood at 5.4. Even despite this unfavorable circumstances, store economics at the EBITDA level in Belarus and Kazakhstan remain superior to an average store in Russia, which is why we are maintaining a healthy pace of new openings there. On store rollout, we opened 168 net new stores, and we maintain an aggressive negotiation policy with landlords. We continue to opt for closing even profitable stores to open new ones nearby at better lease terms. While this puts a temporary pressure on sales densities, we believe it will be better for us in medium term. And to sum up, I believe we performed extremely well in navigating the persistent macro challenges and uncertainties. Now I will briefly touch upon the performance after the reporting date. What we see in October. In October, we saw continued recovery of non-food seasonal sales. For example, the Halloween collection is currently delivering double-digit like-for-like growth. Demand for food remains strong, while some categories are still lagging, given the strong base of 16% like-for-like sales in Q4 last year. As for another strategic priority, we continue our big project in ESG. We are now at the stage of audit of the current state of ESG practices at fixed price, and we remain committed to integrating ESG into our business and expect to provide the market with the first test of those. And we believe that we will be able to provide the first report in next year. Now over to Anton, who will cover the financial results. Thank you.
Thank you, Dmitry, and good day to everyone. Let me talk you through some important financials. As Dmitry covered sales and the key highlights of the quarter, I will start with gross profit, which increased by 17% year-on-year to 18 billion rubles for Q3 2021. The gross margin was 31.8%, down 36 basis points from 2020, reflecting higher production costs, which were to a large extent mitigated by the group's ability to adjust to external macro challenges. Let me remind you that in Q2 2021, the gap versus the previous period was 79 basis points, whilst in Q1 this year, the gap versus the previous period was materially higher at 217 basis points. Introduction of new assortment at higher price points, product re-engineering and fast assortment rotation help us gradually pass on higher cost of sales to consumers, whilst higher non-food sales of seasonal assortment further supported our gross margin in Q3 2021. I should also note here that Q3 is the first quarter when increased freight costs have fully filtered through our financials. We order in advance, and the average payment period for import contracts is 120 days. So in Q3, we were selling products that were being purchased in or about Q1 2021. Now moving on to costs. SG&A excluding D&A were broadly in line with the previous year at 13.3% of revenue. That was supported by strict cost control at all levels. Overall, we saw improved operating efficiency in staff costs, rent, and advertising costs, which were offset by growth of bank charges, security services, repair and maintenance, as well as other expenses. Staff costs as a percentage of revenue decreased by 13 basis points to 9.2%, as growth of average wages in line with the market was fully compensated by operating leverage, thanks to continued improved efficiency of headquarter personnel. Labor market is under pressure at the moment in Russia due to limitation of international travel and strong demand from other players, including online delivery. We tend to keep up with the market on wages whilst ensuring appropriate levels of staff productivity and turnover. Now moving on to rental expenses. Rental expenses in accordance with IAS 17 slightly improved by 5 basis points year on year to 5% of revenue. As a percentage of retail revenue, IAS 17 based rental expenses improved by 9 basis points, reflecting continued efforts to extend favorable lease terms in the post-COVID environment. Rental terms under IFRS 16, the new accounting standard, improved by 11 basis points year-on-year to 0.7% of revenue. We remain very active in negotiations with landlords, so that in absolute terms, the rental expenses increased by just 1.5% to just more than 400 million rubles due to a reduction in the average lease rate on variable leases. That happened because the new lease contracts bear a lower rate compared to the existing portfolio. A change in the structuring of variable lease contracts also contributed to the performance. All contracts with floating rate include a fixed minimum payment component, which is being capitalized under IFRS 16 accounting standard. This fixed component increased compared to the previous year, when it was at the minimal level amid the COVID-19 environment, resulting in growth of D&A and also a decrease in rental expenses, all under IFRS 16. Due to this shift, D&A expenses increased by 25% in the reporting period compared to Q3 last year. Bank charges increased by 6 basis points to 1.1% of revenue, driven by a continued increase in the share of non-cash payments with higher commissions on bank card transactions compared to cash transactions. There is a general trend for customers to switch to bank cards from cash, though we are continually looking into options to cut our expenses on non-cash transactions. Utilities as a share of revenue remain stable year on year at 0.3%, despite growth of tariffs and the abnormally hot summer of 2021. That was mitigated by partial passing of utilities costs to landlords under newly signed contracts. Costs for security services were up by 8 basis points to 0.7% of revenue, whilst advertising costs as a percentage of revenue decreased by 3 basis points to 0.3%. Other expenses increased by 17 basis points to 0.5% of revenue due to expenses related to the company's public status, as well as renewed business trips, which were partially offset by income received from a depository bank in connection with the IPO, with the latter being accrued on a linear basis during the life of the depository facility. Talking about the EBITDA, under IFRS 16 accounting standard, it was up by 17% to 11 billion rubles for Q3 2021. The EBITDA margin was slightly down by 12 basis points year on year and stood at strong 19%, as strict SG&A control successfully mitigated pressure on gross margin. Compared to the pre-COVID level, so comparing with Q3 2019, the EBITDA margin remained flat. Net finance costs in Q3 increased by 22%, predominantly due to an increase in loans and borrowings year on year. In Q3 2021, we recorded an FX loss of just 14 million rubles, and that was compared with 1.1 billion ruble loss in Q3 2020. The loss in the comparable period was attributable primarily to revaluation of FX-denominated accounts payables. The group's total income tax expense was down by 12.5% to 2.4 billion rubles in Q3 this year. The effective tax rate was 32% in the reporting period versus 49% in Q3 2020. This abnormally high effective tax rate in Q3 2020 was attributable to withholding tax accrued on intra-group dividends. As a result of all that, profit for the reporting period increased by 84% year-on-year to 5.1 billion rubles. The net profit margin stood at 8.8% compared with 5.7% for Q3 2020. Now turning to balance sheet and cash flows, which remain strong and provide flexibility for investing in growth while delivering significant returns to the shareholders. On loans, borrowings, and lease liabilities, our loans, borrowings, and lease liabilities amounted to 31.5 billion rubles, up by 5.8 billion rubles from the start of the year on the back of raising additional financial debt for dividend financing amid seasonality in cash generation. That didn't affect our leverage, though, as IAS-17-based adjusted net debt to EBITDA ratio remained low and at a conservative 0.5 turn, well below the threshold of 1 turn set out in the guidance. Net trade working capital stood at 4.6 billion rubles. It hasn't changed essentially for the quarter, and that compares with 2.7 billion rubles as of the end of September 2020. The increase in net trade working capital was driven by continued disruption in global supply chain, as the company brought forward import purchases to ensure stores remain stocked with the full assortment. CapEx for the reporting period amounted to 1.4 billion rubles, and that compares with 1.1 billion rubles for the same period of 2020. The year-on-year increase was driven by high investments in the distribution center network and IT, which to some extent was offset by a smaller increase in company-operated stores, as openings of company-operated stores in the previous period in Q3 2020 were elevated by franchisees' buyouts. Now talking about the outlook, we continue to note a number of both tailwinds and headwinds. Among the tailwinds, to name a few, there are seasonally higher growth and returns amid the run-up to the new year period in Q4. Then we are continually developing our new price point architecture and our assortment and marketing initiatives that are starting to bear fruit. We see double-digit like-for-like sales for Halloween items, as Dmitry mentioned, that prove our strength in sourcing amazing seasonal assortment despite disruptions in the global supply chain. However, the macro factors that Dmitry also flagged earlier, such as continued dislocation with freight, COGS inflation, and specifically the new COVID restrictions in Russia, add increased uncertainty for Q4, and full year performance in terms of growth and profitability. I should also mention that temporary difficulties and limitations in our international geographies that emerged in summer put pressure on like-for-like sales of the group. And in Q3, their impact on group like-for-like was negative 1%. On other lines of our guidance, we remain conservative on our financial policy and expect the net debt to EBITDA ratio to remain below one turn. Our guidance of 730 new store openings this year also remains unchanged. New store economics remains very strong, with an average payback period of about 9 months for Russian company-operated stores, which makes us comfortable with expansion into our white space potential whilst maintaining our target levels of profitability. Stores in international geographies still perform better at the EBITDA level, even despite the current temporary pressure on their sales. Average CapEx per store has increased by a modest percentage in a low teens area amid inflation of prices for construction materials and currently stands at approximately 4.5 million rubles. Talking about CapEx, I would also remind you that we have marginally increased our guidance on distribution center CapEx to 15 to 16 billion rubles in the next 5 years, and we also accelerated to some extent new distribution centers construction this year amid raw materials price inflation. Nonetheless, CapEx as a percentage of revenue should continue to improve in the medium term amid further efficiencies of scale and operating leverage. With that, I will hand over back to Dmitry for closing remarks.
Hi, everyone. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that I'm proud of the team efforts and strong results that we continue to demonstrate. We work in one of the most attractive and fastest growing sectors in retail, and we are the only meaningful player of this format in Russia with our EDLP model, efficient store economics, strict cost discipline, and entrepreneurial team spirit, we successfully navigate the current challenges to become an even stronger company, continuing to deliver best-in-class performance in terms of growth and profitability and create meaningful long-term stakeholder value. Thank you. Now back to Michael.
Thank you very much for the presentation, Dmitry. We will now be moving to the Q&A part of the call. If you have any questions, please press star 2 on your keypad and wait for your name to be called. That's star 2. If you are dialed in via the web, you may also ask a voice or a text question. So we'll now give a moment or so for the questions to come in. Thank you. Our first question comes from Mr. Henry Karps from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. I had a few questions. I guess you're talking a lot about the uncertainties for Q4 and end of the year, but if we take a step back and look going into 2022, 2023, clearly 2021, there's been a lot of stuff going on that's hard to see beginning of the year. But how... can you give us an update how you think about the outlook for 2022, 2022-2023, how we should think about like-for-like growth. I think previously you talked about double digits. Do you still think that's doable? The pressures or the headwinds we're seeing in 2021, are they temporary or are we sort of just rebasing at a perhaps lower level? And then you're also talking about the marketing initiatives bearing some fruit. Do you have any data points or anything you can share on that, please? And then I guess more technical question. It seems like your store closures are going up quite a lot in Q3 of your retail stores. Can you explain, is that renegotiation of lease contracts? Thanks.
Hi, Henrik. Thanks a lot for your questions. Let me maybe start with in reverse order with closures. The number of closures that we had in Q3 is generally comparable with what we closed in Q3 last year. And it is actually less than in 9 months 2020 when we look at 9 months 2021. That basically happens because we keep a very aggressive position in our negotiations with landlords and subtitles, and we find that it's better for us to close even a profitable store. And I can tell you that the vast majority of stores that we are closing, they are quite profitable, quite good stores, because we believe that in the medium term, after we open a store in some nearby location in the neighborhood, traffic will essentially move to that store, and we will be able to operate with comparable sales densities, but ultimately better store economics because of better lease terms. So for that reason, we closed the vast majority of stores last year, and the closures that we are undertaking this year, it's also because we are continuing to optimize our operational cash rental expense. And that you could clearly see in our financials as we continue to improve our rental expenses, both under the old standard and the new standard year on year as percentage of revenue. Now, moving to your first question about, you know, the outlook for, in terms of, you know, like-for-like margins for 2022-2023. Let me start, and then Dmitry will continue with that as well as with the marketing initiatives that we are implementing. I mean, fundamentally, as we've been saying, we don't see why things should be different in 2022-2023 from what they've been in the past before COVID. Clearly, the current year is quite turbulent, to say the least, and clearly we have a number of quite significant uncertainties going forward, which could play both one way or another, and no one has a crystal ball to figure out how it will ultimately develop. But we, first of all, see signs of consumers reverting back to discretionary purchases. It does take time, and we already have gone quite a long way together with our consumers in the adjustment to the new price levels. Then in Q3 this year, I mentioned that the higher freight costs, the elevated freight costs, they have fully filtered through our financials, through our inventories into cost of goods sold. And despite that, you could see that our profitability in terms of both the gross margin and the EBITDA margin, they remain very strong considering the circumstances, right? Okay, it's flat versus 2019, it's a little bit down, but considering the circumstances, I would say that the numbers are very strong, which gives me kind of hope and expectation, but hope, better to say, that As we continue to adjust our model, and provided that there are no additional black swans in terms of, you know, FX, raw materials inflation, and et cetera, including freight, that the margins should recover going forward.
And on top of what Anton said, supporting his hopes, I can say that our market experts and category managers are monitoring the market very closely and are following all the changes in terms of changing prices in both retail for comparables, and we daily study through our tools that we have in place. Let me remind you, we have a big loyal customer base. Daily, we probe the consumer market and consumer behaviors. And what we see is that right now, the consumer behaviors are stabilizing. It's still too early to say that the trends are normalizing, but people are buying more non-food, among other things. Gradually, people get to use, get adapted to the new price levels. And going back to history, probably the biggest price increase in all the price categories happened in the first half 2021. The trend is there. The trend is still there, but probably it has decelerated somewhat. And we have undertaken a lot of steps to rotate the assortment as well as the price points. As you remember, anticipating the price, the cost increase and the price increase, we introduced the new higher price points, 249 to 99. It was about mitigating the risks of higher costs, but it also enabled us to expand the non-food assortment with more attractive goods and to further improve our CVP. And in the second half, we are adapting also the lower price points. We're introducing the new price points, 59 and 79 rubles. And our main tasks there are to minimize the impact of higher costs in this price niche. And on the other hand, not just to support the assortment, the products are getting more expensive in all the price categories, and this could impoverish our metrics. But we are adding more exciting products in this lower price segment just for these new price points, 59 and 79. We are introducing that in the next 4 days, on the 1st of November, and the first results will probably, the interim results, will be seen by the end of the year. We hope that this will underpin both the profitability and the sales themselves. And at the same time, we have also introduced a key marketing initiative. We have extended the offering to our loyal customers. We have launched the program that we call the special price, when our loyal customers can buy a product at a special lower price. And this program is still being tested. And we do see the positive feedback from our customers. And we see the higher traffic. Now, we support and increase the traffic against the challenging comparison base of last year. We also see a higher number of loyal customers. And understandably, longer term, this will result in supporting the like-for-like growth that we were guiding towards, as well as the sales themselves. And as to the key initiatives, probably it's worthwhile reminding that we support the initiatives of the Russian government. We support vaccination, not just of our employees, but also our loyal customers who are still sitting on the fence, and each of the customers in the next few months or during the lockdown, every customer who will get vaccinated will get 1,000 bonuses, which is the equivalent of 1,000 rubles. It's not a big thing, but hopefully it will drive sales and demand in our stores. And probably it is more about ESG rather than profit making initiative.
Thank you very much.
So,
thank you.
Have I answered your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much. We will now be moving to the Russian caller questions. The next question is from Mr. Alex Gugnosarev from VTB Capital Investment Management. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Dear colleagues, good afternoon. We have a few questions. So what are the trends in like-for-like for Q4 and the overall revenue? How does it compare to Q3 of 2021? Hello, are you there? Мы слышали. Anton there has a problem there. We have a small technical issue and the company is sorting it out.
Delay and some technical difficulties with the line. So I'm on the English channel. So if you don't mind, I will be answering your question in English. So far in October to date, we are seeing continuation of the trends which Dmitry was mentioning when we talked about the performance in Q3. On a two-year stacked basis, our like-for-like is generally in line with Q3, which is quite promising. Having said that, we also obviously appreciate that there is a big uncertainty ahead of us as Russia this week is going into a number of restrictions on non-food retail and some other sectors. So fixed price as a retailer which sells essential products, including food, we expect that the vast majority of our stores will remain open. However, it's yet to be seen how the situation will actually develop into Q4 and the rest of the year.
Thank you very much. If I could add something here, despite anything and everything, whatever is within our power, we are putting every single effort in working with the assortment, maintaining the costs, managing costs, and increasing the sales efficiency. We are covering that a lot, and I believe throughout this past quarter, we have covered those initiatives either in the press or during the calls. I get it. Thank you very much. And yet another question. Is it right to expect that 249 to 99 price points are increasing the share? And what is the share in October? We do not hear the Russian line as yet. Sorry, we had again a technical problem. Anton now lost the sound. The share increased in September. It was close to 8%, but we believe it is growing. We do not have yet the numbers for October, and we are working on this. And we are gradually expanding the assortment there. We see the changes in consumer behaviors, and we see that the customers are perceiving those new prices well. We are actively expanding them with wow items, where the price of 249 or 299 rubles is much, much lower than what you can find elsewhere, whether it is modern organized retail or outdoor markets or mom and pop stores. So the share of those price points will increase. In September, it was 8%+. It's too early as yet to speak about the results of October. We'll be ready with the numbers early November. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will have the next question coming from the Russian line from Alexei Filippov from JP Morgan Asset Management. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you very much. Could you promote a comment on the transportation costs, by how much will they go up in 2021? And when will you start putting those higher costs on the books? In Q3, you already had some effect, but if we look at Q4, comparing it against the previous one, should we expect higher transportation costs? Or what we already saw in Q3 is the max level, and it will be on the same level for the next few quarters. Thank you. We can split the question in two. I will start and Anton will add more color. As to the guidance for the costs and by how much the transportation costs might go up, no one can say. And at best, it would be guessing. We believe that the costs will stay where they are now. For us, they increased 5 to 6-fold. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I can tell you that over the period when this can affect our sales, we have undertaken a lot of efforts so that this effect is mitigated and minimized because we have done quite a significant rotation within the price points. We added more expensive price points. We also did a lot of rotation in the lower ones. We kept the assortment there. We managed to sustain the costs at the level of the first half, and this year we had to reshuffle our assortment a lot, and our main task was to make sure that since we are very much involved in creating the products, designing the products, most of them are quasi private label as well as the branded goods, which come out in special packaging or sizes, we managed to minimize the impact on our COGS. And all of our initiatives and efforts hopefully will mitigate the impact of all the costs, including transportation and I believe that's it.
Now, talking about numbers. First of all, I would like to remind that imported goods, they count for approximately a quarter of our cost of goods sold. The remaining three quarters are being sourced in Russia. Now, talking about the impact, you know, of higher freight costs on our COGS and when you will see the full reflection. As you will recall, last year, before the freight costs started to increase, it cost us approximately $2,000 to $3,000 to deliver a container from China to Russia. In the beginning of this year, and that was the reason why we quite proactively introduced the new two price points, $249 and $299. So in the beginning of this year, the freight costs were already at the level of approximately $10,000. So they increased by four times. Since then, they continue to slowly grow, and currently they are at the level of approximately $15,000 to $16,000 per container to deliver it from China to Russia. So as the freight cost has already been at $10,000 level in Q1 this year, you could say that to a large extent, this has been filtered through, and this has been pretty much reflected in our financials in Q3. There will be some additional effect as far as we are talking just about the freight on our COGS in Q4. But then you should also remember all that Dmitry just mentioned about the initiatives that we have implemented in the meantime that would allow us to offset that impact.
And actually, to follow up, there is a key message that for us, that's not anything new, and that's not a new challenge. This is something we faced in 2015 and 16, when the share of import was almost 70%. Over this time, we have gone down to 30%, and as we see that the transportation costs are high and the FX rates are different, at a lower pace somewhat, but we are still trying to shift more to where the costs, the ultimate costs are lower. And right now, some of the products that even at the beginning of 2021, it made sense importing from China, we found producers in Russia, and now we are producing them with our partners in Russia. And that is in the categories that we didn't believe would be possible. Home decoration, seasonal goods can be made in Russia, and they are being produced for us. And stationery and New Year decorations. We are sourcing all those in Russia too now. Thank you. Thank you very much for the detailed answer. If I can ask another question, how do you view the openings in 2022? I understand you are not ready to come up with a very clear target, but conceptually, do you expect to accelerate new store openings? Right now, we are not ready to change the plans that we spoke about at the IPO. In 2022, we expect to stick to our plan and open 750 stores net in all the territories of our presence. Right now, we do not know how the environment might change or what will happen to the macro in November and December, but right now, we do not see any significant constraints for opening 750 stores next year. Thank you. Thank you very much. And another clarifying question. You said in October the like-for-like sales were on the level of Q3. It was 4 or 5%. Is that right? Anton could clarify that, probably.
No, what I meant to say is that a two-year like-for-like in October is generally in line with the trend that we've been seeing during Q3. So, which means that the trends or the recovery trends that Dmitry was talking about, they are slowly materializing, and the initiatives that we are implementing, that they are bearing fruits. But I would like to, because we have lots of uncertainties ahead of us, it's probably a bit premature to give some precise numbers.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you very much. Just a very quick reminder for any additional questions, please press star 2. In the meantime, we will take a question from a private investor, Mr. or Mrs. Ustinov. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Okay, thank you very much. We are just waiting one more time for other questions, part 2. It looks like we have no further questions. I'll pass the line back to the Investor Relations and Management team for the concluding remarks.
Thanks, Michael. And thanks you all for joining. We will be reporting our full year operating and financial results in the first quarter next year. So look forward to speaking to you all then. In the meantime, please feel free to reach out to us, to Investor Relations team, through the contacts on the website with any follow-up questions. Thanks again and have a nice day.
Thank you. This concludes today's call and we'll be closing all the lines. Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.